My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady, representing the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's also the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee. He joins us often when we get to crunch points on major economic issues, and where we are currently in the debt ceiling debate is no exception. And Congressman, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, last week, of course, we watched as Republicans in the House passed cut, cap, and balance. Now, of course, with that being tabled by the Senate, Speaker Boehner has suggested that this is his compromise effort to try and build some middle ground with some Democrats. He claims this is essentially the framework he had with Senator Reid that was eventually rejected by the president out of hand. A lot of consternation, a lot of debate within your own conference. Where are you voting on this, and how do you think it's likely to turn out this evening?
Well, one, I think it will pass. Two, I'm supportive of it, mainly because it actually has the principles that I believe in, which is no tax increases, which I think is ridiculous to be part of this discussion. We have to cut more in first before there's an increase in the debt ceiling. I like the fact that we're forcing, finally, the Senate to hold a vote on a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. And we have a chance, finally, for some entitlement savings. The bill basically gives us more than half of the savings in the Ryan budget, both for discretionary programs and for our entitlements. That's never enough. You, as a conservative, you can't cut deep enough or soon enough for me. The brick wall we keep running into is the Senate. And I know our Republicans are fighting hard over there, but we are really having to force these spending cuts bills through the Senate and to the president.
Let's talk a little more specifically. How much would the Boehner bill cut? And what a lot of people want to know is how much it'll cut this Congress, since future Congresses may not necessarily abide by this.
Yeah, it cuts in two stages. One is about $920 billion immediately. And in return, the president can ask for a debt ceiling increase of $900 billion. And then come February, by February, a joint committee of Congress, 12 lawmakers, will recommend at least another $1.8 trillion, focused mainly on entitlement reforms as far as the House is concerned. And again, that has to pass and become law before there's another increase in the debt ceiling. The goal there from Speaker Boehner is to not give the president or Congress a free ride until next election. We've never approved as a Congress a debt limit this size or for this length of time. And there's no reason not to hold Congress accountable to continue dealing with this debt, because this is just, this is at best a down payment. Our debt is so high. And at the end of the day, I'm convinced the American public can now see we need a new Senate, and I think we need a new president if we're going to get serious about our financial house.
So of the $900 billion and the $1.8-ish trillion that would be coming later, the bulk of that would happen, be affected on current spending or the next fiscal
year? No, I wish it were. I wish it did. It's about a $22 billion cut this year, this next budget year, about that the year after. And essentially what we're doing is taking government to the 2010 level and leaving it there till 2016, and then starts to increase somewhat. There's no question that out-year spending cuts aren't guaranteed unless Congress forces that to be. We're in better position because it now becomes law in, to make those cuts. But you have to be vigilant every week up here, because those who want to spend are going to want to spend more. So, you know, you got to. There's no shortcut in this. We're going to have to stay on top of it.
In terms of the debt commission, not the commission that happened a couple of years ago with Bowles and Simpson, but the one that would be created by this bill, how confident are you that the six Republicans put on there would pretty much be towing the line on cut, cap, and balance, for lack of a better example, or whether they might be one or two of them receptive to tax increases?
Well, there won't be any House members receptive to tax increases, and I would certainly hope the Senate would abide by that as well. But I can tell you in the House, they can recommend any tax increase they choose. It will not pass this Republican House, period. And, in fact, our insistence is going to be that it is focused on entitlement reform. That's where we think the biggest financial hole is that we've dug as a nation. That's where we need to focus.
It almost seems, Congressman, on some level, when listening to the White House, that in addition to the spending issue that seems to be having the two parties at loggerheads, the issue of how long this extension would last seems to be almost as important, if not more so, to them, with the president saying he doesn't want to put the public through this during an election year. Republicans clearly don't want to issue one extension beyond Election Day. How big of an issue is that for you, and how do you expect that part to get resolved?
You know, it's pretty big for me. Why are we giving anyone a free ride on an issue this critical? If I had my way, we'd be doing a debt ceiling issue debate about every 2 months, because I think the public, they may tire of the debate, but the debt is so deep, it's going to take us years and years to dig out of the hole we're in. So why ignore the problem? I think a two-step approach is far better than just a free ride through the next election, and that's one of the parts of the bill that I appreciate.
Let's say this passes tonight. Let's say the Democrats in the Senate are telling the truth when they say they'll defeat it. What happens then?
You know, I think that'd be a huge mistake. I think Senator Reid has already recognized with his bill he's holding a dead cat in one hand. By killing the Boehner bill, he's essentially done the same and left with nothing. Clock is ticking. I'd hate to be a Senator Majority Leader who has caused this huge economic problem. I think they may try to table it tonight, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the Republican bill coming out of the House that eventually, in some very close form, ends up becoming law.
I know, of course, Republicans like to and often do present a united front. How tough of an issue has this been for your conference the last couple of days?
You know, it has been tough because we all want more. We're all hungry for more spending cuts. We're all hungry for more entitlement savings because we know we need to do it. We just can't seem to get the substance beyond the Senate. And so it's been frustrating, Greg. I think at the end of the day, the vast majority of our Tea Party freshmen, the vast majority of our Tea Party members, and the vast majority of House conservatives are going to support this bill because it actually does have some spending cuts in it. And the alternative, which is Harry Reid's phony cuts and $2.4 trillion all-in-one bite to the president, just isn't acceptable.
Last question for Texas Congressman Kevin Brady. You mentioned that the Reid plan is unacceptable for House Republicans. They say the Boehner plan is unacceptable to them among the Senate Democrats. Do you suspect there's middle ground there, or is the Boehner plan about as far to the left as you see the House being willing to go?
Yeah, I think the Boehner plan is as far as it will go. And we're making, for conservatives, suggesting and approving a spending limit we think needs to be much higher. And we're going to fight to make it higher. And so I think the senator would be making another huge mistake, the president as well, is if they think they can weaken this bill and send it back. It's not going to happen.
Congressman, a lot to keep track of still in the next few days. Thanks, as always, for your insight.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District. He is the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.